Heavy.
Okay, we're holding the top line of Chofei Yom Ha'alef.
Chofei Yom Ha'alef?
No, the top line.
Top line?
Top line of Chofei Yom Ha'alef. Okay, we learned yesterday, we started saying we had four cases in our Mishnah of Gittin that are possible. You had case number one where the get was not written L'Shem Gerushin at all. Case number one where it wasn't written L'Shem Gerushin at all, so if it just wrote it for practice. Case number two where one person wrote it intending to divorce his wife, and now another man wants to use it to divorce his wife, where they have the same name. Case number three was you had one man with two wives who have the same name, and he wrote it for one, intending to use it for one, and then he wants to change his mind and use it for the other. And the fourth case we had was the case that we're going to deal with Breda, where he wrote it not certain at the time which of his two wives who have the same name he plans to use it for, and then he decides after the fact. So we started discussing yesterday which one, granted all four of these apostles, which one of them do have at least the degree of kashrus that it can be considered some sort of get to the extent that it'll pass all her from marrying Kohen. So far we had two opinions. We had Rav saying that the first one, which wasn't written L'Shem Gerushin at all, does not pass all her from a Kohen, and it's not considered a get in any way, shape, or form. But the other three all are. It's called Reach HaGet, the aroma of a get, and it passes her to that extent. We had Shmuel saying even the first one passes her, so all four of them do. But now we're going to continue with that Machlokes. Hello? Ze'iri Omar, so third opinion, Ze'iri says, Kulan ein posten chutz min ha'acharin. But no, the other way around. Rav was saying that the second, third, and fourth ones possible her from Kohona, and Shmuel was saying even the first one. Ze'iri says on the contrary. The first, second, and third definitely do not possible her. Ze'iri is an Amor, yeah. So he says, the last one, it's just a matter of a chumra. Do we say yesh breira or do we say ein breira? So the chumra, we have to say, just in case, yesh breira, that this get passes her from marrying a kohen, although she'll still need a proper get afterwards to be fully divorced. But the other three, the Ziri holds, there's no way in which they can be considered a kosher get. There's no way in which they can be considered to have been written l'shma. Therefore, they shouldn't pass her under reich get either. None of them are, but the fourth one, at least, if we argue yesh breira, would be a kosher get.
Meaning
that retroactively, we can say, once he decides which one he's going to use it for, that retroactively, that was the one it was written for originally. That would be yesh breira. So fine, breira, not breira, we're going to deal with today. There's a machlokes tanoim about that. So fine, so Ze'iri says the fourth one, where it's a question of breira, you can say that we're not certain, and therefore to be on the safe side, we have to say that it is reich get, but on the other hand, she still needs a proper get to be allowed to marry somebody else. But the other three, it shouldn't pass on her at all. That's what Ze'iri says. Breira exists in things that are right as well. The question is, when do we say yesh breira, when do we say ein breira?
How do we know?
I mean, the fact is, if the Torah, in this case, Tosfos says that it's not even really a matter of breira. Even if you hold ordinarily yesh breira, we would still say in this case not, because the Pasuk makes a point of saying because of law, which means it has to be l'shma. But throughout the rest of the Torah, throughout the rest of Shas, there's machlokas in many places, whether yesh breira or ein breira, those who hold yesh breira hold that it applies even to things that are daisa. Yeah, according to that opinion. The halacha, the accepted halacha, we're going to have an example later on. We're going to have the famous case of HaLakeach Yayin Ben HaKosin. But look, in our case over here, at least on the surface, it's a question of breira. He wrote the get, he's married to two women named Rachel. He wrote the get, not certain at the time which one he plans to use it for. Now he's giving it to one of them. If we say yesh breira, it means that all along that was the one he meant to divorce.
Well, the first place starts the rabbi gets off for which one?
That's the point.
Why don't we learn the sugya,
and then let's try to understand a little bit about breira.
Breira is post-event.
Post-event, we make a decision or something, not a decision necessarily, something happens, that we make something depend on something that's going to happen later, where depending on how things turn out later, it is going to affect how it was planned to be originally. Later on, as we go through the sugya, we'll also see Mefarshim deal a great deal with the question, how is Breira different than a Tanai? So wait, we'll get to that.
Okay.
A Tanai is also, you're saying this is going to depend on whether such and such happens. Let's go through the sugya and then we'll get into that. Okay. So the Iri is saying that in the fourth case, where it's a matter of Breira, and since there might be uncertainty whether Yesh Breira or Ein Breira, because there is Machlokas on that, so therefore we machmer and say on the one hand, if a Possel get, she can't get married with it, but on the other hand, she's Possel from marrying a Kohen. But in all the other three cases, there isn't that chash, therefore we shouldn't say that she's Possel to a Kohen either. That's what Reya Haget means. That's what we started talking about at the end yesterday. That's what Reya Haget means. You have, later on in the Sefer, we're going to learn an example, which actually the Gemara brings a pasuk for it, that if a man writes a get for his wife and says, Hadeyat Macharis B'chol Adam, except for so-and-so, it's a pasuk get, because it has to be Chrisus, it has to be that she's allowed to marry anybody else, but it's still Mitzad Reya Haget, because there's an aroma of a get over here. It has, for the most part, the appearance of a kosher get. It possibles her from marrying a Kohen. So if her husband were to die at this point, she still couldn't marry a Kohen, even though you would see, you don't say she's an Amona. And as Vinci had mentioned yesterday, by the same token, if her husband himself is a Kohen and wants to remarry her, wants to say, you know what, forget the get, let's get back together, he wouldn't be able to. So, yeah. So that's what we're discussing.
Well, that could also be because people might think that divorce and now she married a Kohen, therefore a divorced woman is allowed to marry a Kohen.
Maybe. I mean, sometimes it's, but I mean, the original concept of Reya Haget, when we talk about that case where he says, Hareyat Macharis Lachol and Chutz Miplaini, is the Gemara actually learns from a prophet, Behisha Grusha Mehisha, that even if he's only divorced from her husband. Actually, that's not when he says you're also to a certain person. It's if he says you're divorced, but you're not allowed to marry anybody else. So she's only divorced from her husband, Behisha Grusha Mehisha, but even she is not allowed to marry a Kohen. But that's what we're discussing over here. So Rav had said that three out of the four gittin in our Mishnah possible her from marrying a Kohen, but nevertheless they're possible gittin. Shmuel said all four of them. Ziri is saying on the contrary, only the first three do not, only the fourth one does. And Bechenom Ravasi, and the same thing Ravasi said, Kolonen Posen Chutzman Acharon, that only the fourth one possible her from marrying a Kohen, the other three is not even Reh Haget, they don't even possible her from marrying a Kohen. Rabbi Yechon, and then we have a fourth opinion, Rabbi Yechon, that says, Av Acharon Nami Ein Apostol, even the fourth get of our Mishnah does not possible her from marrying a Kohen.
None of them, in other words.
None of them, in other words, because even the fourth one, where it's only a question of Breira, nevertheless, since we're saying Ein Breira, as we're going to establish later on, and that's it, there's no possibility of it being considered a kosher get. Right. And Gemara says, V'az Rabbi Yechon L'taymeh, Rabbi Yechon is going according to his own reasoning that he says in a different din, where he says, that Ein Breira, where he says that Breira is not valid, at least in things that are Isa, and therefore applying that to our case over here, if Ein Breira, we would say later on when he chooses to use the get for one of his wives, it doesn't work, because it wasn't written for that at the time. To Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yechanan, because in fact we see that Rav Asi says in the name of Rav Yechanan, which by the way means that Rav Asi must mean that Rav Asi over here is reporting this in the name of Rav Yechanan. But he himself disagrees because we just said two lines ago that he says that the fourth case of our Mishnah does possible her from marrying a Kohen. Okay. So he says, Ha'achan Shechoku, when brothers divide up their inheritance, they divide up their land, their real estate in Eretz Yisrael that their father left them. Lekucha saying, we actually consider them just to be buyers. U'machzidin zelazev yovel, and they all have to return their property to each other in yovel. Meaning, in other words, what's going on over here? When these brothers divided up the inheritance, in the end it turns out this person gets this, this one gets this part of the field, this one gets that part, etc. Was it that if we said yesh breira, it would mean once we decided which one gets what? If we said yesh breira, it would mean that all along, as soon as their father died, that was what was meant to be their portion. But we're saying ein breira. So therefore, the fact that one of them ended up with this portion and the other one ended up with that portion is not really. At the time their father died, it wasn't definitive who's getting what. Afterwards, they decided, you'll get this, I'll get that. Therefore, it's considered the equivalent of having bought the property from each other. We figured out the respective the respective values of each parcel, and each one basically bought. Each one said, I'm trading you this one for this one. Comes Yovel, all bought fields return to their owners. Therefore, what we have to do over here is everything returns back to the way it was. Now, what do we mean? What actually happens over there? So, a number of different mafarshim talk about the practicalities. What exactly do they do? Does it mean the Pnei Yeshua wants to say that it just means that basically during Yovel they undo it all and they all live on the property in common? But as soon as Yovel is over, they all go back to the same parcels that they had originally picked out when their father died. that goes back as if it was all the property of their father again. Actually, the Rashba, I think it is, but he's dead, fine, but it goes back to the way it was, to the status it was when he died, but it was where it was all one. So that's the thing. According to the Pnei Yeshua, according to the Pnei Yeshua's understanding, all it means is during Yovel, the Chalukah is cancelled. During Yovel, anyway, nobody's planting the fields. So therefore, they all go back as if it was all held in common by all of them. After Yovel, they go back to what they had split up before Yovel. The Reuben gets this part, Shimon gets that part, etc. The same parcels that they had before. Because Ein Brera is why it has to be put back together in Yovel.
As it was.
Then there are other opinions. The Rashba actually says that we're not only going back to the way it was when their father passed away. We're actually going back effectively to the way it was when Avraham Avinu was given Eretz Yisrael, where it's all one big chunk that apply that's owned collectively by the whole Jewish people. And he actually says, I think it's he who says, maybe the Ritva says actually, that the vort is the original division among the Shvatim is something that was done by Hashem's decree, by the Goro, by the Urim Atumim, whatever. Therefore, that has, well, actually, that he mentions that in a couple of lines. I mean, it says Kaschila. So let's get to that then, actually, but whatever. Anyway, so as I said, the Pnei Yeshua says that it's just you undo the division during Yovel, and then after Yovel, everything goes back to the way it was before. There are other Achronim who talk about possibilities. I don't remember now which one says what. That maybe what they do is they have, I think the Smag says they have to split, they have to exchange. The part that you had two sons, let's say Reuben and Shimon, Reuben got this half, Shimon got this half. During Yovel, they switch. Now Reuben gets this half and Shimon gets this half.
After Yovel.
I don't think he says what happens after Yovel. I'm not sure whether he means that they stay that way after Yovel or whether he means that they go back to that. And then there are other Rishonim who talk about that it means that they have to actually divide it completely afresh. They have to make a new evaluation, a new Godel, however it was that they split it up originally among themselves. Whatever it is, the bottom line is that why is this necessary? Because Rabbi Yochanan is saying that they're considered like buyers because Ein Brera. Later on, by the way, we're going to have in a few weeks, the Gemara is going to re-deal with this whole issue of Rabbi Yochanan saying that you have to redo the division of Eretz Yisrael level Yovel. We'll get back to that on Daf and Zayin Yochanan. But for right now, what's important is that it seems that Rabbi Yochanan is saying Ein Brera. So therefore, in our mission also Ein Brera, and therefore this get will be possible. But if it's possible, there's not even a reyach a get in it. There's not even the aroma of a get that would possible from marrying a claim. We need both of these statements of Rabbi Yochanan. Because if we only had the one statement of Rabbi Yochanan in connection with the get, we would say b'ha kam Rabbi Yochanan de ein brera. You know why in our Mishnah Rabbi Yochanan is saying ein brera, mishum tevin and lo lishma, because the get has to be written lishma. But in the case of Yovel, maybe the Torah is only saying that something that's actually sold, where money changes hands and the money or other objects of value change hands and then property is bought, that returns in Yovel. But if it weren't for the Yerushalayim statement, so in other words, maybe it has nothing to do with Brera. It's a cost of anything bought, but not anything where there was inheritance or gifts or whatever. The Yeshman and Sodom, and conversely, if we were only told the case in the case of the field, the case of Yovel, then we would say Meshum de Lachumra. Then we would say one reason why we might say Ein Brera over there is because it's a matter of Lachumra. That you have to return it, they have to bring it all back into a common pool and then redivide it or whatever, is just Lachumra. Just in case we say Ein Brera. Lachumra of that we're not sure whether we say Ein Brera or Yesh Brera. But what would that mean? It would mean then, if we're going to just say l'chumra, it would mean in the case of the get in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan would have to say, we have to do l'chumra on both sides of the thing. On the one hand, it has to be a possible get, she can't remarry with it, because maybe yesh brera. On the other hand, maybe ein brera. Therefore, she can't marry with it because ein brera, but on the other hand, maybe yesh brera, maybe it is a valid get, and that's enough to possible her from marrying the kohen. So if we only have the statement by Yovel, we would not know that in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan is saying this get still allows her to marry a kohen. Because Rabbi Yochanan is saying completely, without even a doubt, that Ein Brera. Inami Katchila. Or another reason why you might think that it's different in the case of Yovel, because Katchila, which means Rashi says, to begin with, it all belonged to one person. It belonged to the father. Therefore, in Yovel now it should return to one person. Nothing to do with Breira or not. Just that the Torah wants it to go back. The Torah wants things in Yovel to go back to the way they were. No, but it's not a matter of Breira or not, according to that. Or here's where the Ritva comes in and says that Tchila means that when it comes to the original the original division of Eretz Yisrael into the Shvatim, that was done al Pi Hashem, that was done at Hashem's direct command with the Urim Tumim and the lottery. So therefore that has a permanent validity. That you're not going to say that in Yovel we're going to take the territory of Shevet Reuven and give it to Shevet Shimon and so forth, because those were originally set up al Pi Hashem. But the individual thing that is generation after, or maybe even the original division by families, but afterwards, that 100 or 200 years later, that a father dies and the sons decide among themselves, I'm going to get this part, you're going to get that part, that's not a Pi Hashem, that's just something that they're deciding among themselves. Therefore, you might argue that's not considered strong enough to survive Yovel. Maybe therefore at Yovel time that has to be undone. But again, nothing to do with Breira. But over here, where we're dealing with Breira, maybe not. Maybe we would say that, maybe we would think Rabbi Yochanan holds Yesh Breira, and therefore, again, the get of our Mishnah would be enough, or at least if there's a suffix with a Yesh Breira, and therefore the get of our Mishnah, the fourth case of our Mishnah, would be enough to say that she's possible with Chorona, because of Reach HaGet. So therefore we needed both of Rabbi Yochanan's statements to clarify that he means that both cases are a matter of Breira, not just a matter of Xeris HaKosov or whatever, and in both cases, definitely, no question about it, ain't Breira, therefore the get of our Mishnah has no validity at all, not even enough to pass over to Rekoyen, and the division during Yovel has no validity past Yovel at all, and it needs to be undone in Yovel and redone afterwards.
We could have thought it's Xeris HaKosov, but we...
Or we could have thought that it's a suffix.
Yeah. And now we're coming and we're saying no.
Now we're saying it's based on these two, putting these two statements of Rabbi Yochanan together, we know for sure ain't Breira. Yeah. So now Rav Hoshi asks Rabbi Yehuda, Omer lo Lavlo, what happens if the husband tells the scribe, he doesn't tell him like we did in our Mishnah, write it with the name and I'll decide later on which one of my wives I want to use it for. We know the Mishnah tells us that's possible. How about he says, Ksoiv lo Ezer shetetze b'pesach t'chila. What if he tells him, write the get, having in mind whichever of my two wives who have the same name, whichever one ends up walking out of the door first, you should be writing now that get having her in mind. Again, it's kind of a Breira thing. But it is kind of, well, we're going to see soon. The Gemara is going to make a distinction.
Why is it kind of
Because it... Because it still is. At the time when he wrote the get, neither of them had walked out. Therefore, you have a situation of Breira.
But it's a forward tonight, it's not a back.
It's the same difference, though. I mean, the Gemara is going to, later on, the Gemara is going to soon make a distinction between Toilah B'Das Asma and Toilah B'Das Achelim. Not forward and backward. Toilah B'Das Asma means that he himself hasn't made the decision yet. Toilah B'Das Achelim means he's making it depend on what somebody else does. So we're going to, depending which one of them walks out first, yes, the Gemara is going to make that distinction soon, but we're going to say that. Wait. Okay. So... Okay, but you know what? First of all, there are crazy people in the world. But second of all, you know, a lot of times the Gemara uses hypotheticals like that are never going to happen in real life. But we understand the underlying principle from it. And look, I mean, what did you have your stuff did, right? You know, whatever walks out of my house first will be a carbon oil. You know, it is. You never know. You know. Okay. So, what's the din? Mahu. Omalei, so Rabbi Yehuda tells him what's the problem. Tinisura, it's exactly what it says in our Mishnah. Yes, the Mikan, that even more than that, Omalei Lavla, if he says to the Sofer, Ksoiv la'ezer she'er tzagarish, write it, and whichever one I want to divorce, possible the garish, right? Possible to divorce with. So it's possible, there's no question about it. He didn't have in mind at the time of the writing which one it was. Why would you think that's kosher? Eisvei, so he asks him, though, I have a contradiction. From a Mishnah in Pesachim, Ha'omel Levana, with a if a person says to his children, "Hareini shochet as a Pesach al Misha Yala became Rishon LeYerushalayim," I am going to shech the Korban Pesach on behalf of whichever one of you gets to Yerushalayim first. So, kiven shenichnetz Rishon, as soon as the first person, which means, in other words, Rashi is saying that what he's saying is, whichever one gets there first, when I shech the Korban, I'm going to be machne to right now. When I'm shechting the Korban, I'm going to be machne to him his portion in the Korban Pesach. That's what it sounds like. Kibin shenichtas rishon roish b'gobei. As soon as the first one gets his head and most of his body into the walls of Yerushalayim, and this is again after the shechita, on the face of it, zocha b'chel. Okay, at that point he's zocha in his portion of the korban pesach. Umizakes echavimai, and he's able to also bring along that his brothers also now have their portion out of his portion. And that's the question. On the face of it, we're talking that he only got to Yerushalayim after the Shechita. At the time of the Shechita, the father did not know which son is going to get there first, and yet we're saying that it works. That's Breda. Yeah. Amalei, so Rabbi Yehuda tells him, Hoshia, my son, mine and Psachim Esau Gittin. What do Psachim have to do with Gittin? Meaning, obviously, yes, you could derive one from the other, but the situation with Pesachim is not really a matter of Breira, because Ha'itmar Allah, because it was said on it, the statement of Amaroyim, Omer of Yechanan, Kedem of Zarazim Mitzvah. That actually, we're not talking about the father wasn't saying that I'm only going to give a portion of the Korban Pesach to whichever son gets in first, and that he, if he wants, can share with all his brothers. No, he included them all, he had them all registered for the Korban Pesach before he ever shechted it. Because as the Gemara is going to say in a minute, you have to. A person can't register for the Korban Pesach after it's shechted. All he was doing, Kedela Zaris and Mitzvahs, he was just making this declaration in order to make them drizim, in order to say whichever one gets there first is the one going to be winning the prize. But not to say that the rest of them are excluded, right? That's the point. He's trying to get them to. He's trying to induce them to hurry up, making them think that they're not going to get from the Korban Pesach of their own portion if they don't hurry up. But really, of course, he had in mind for them to get. Now, what he can do, the point is, if he was Mimana all of them, he can still, for example, be saying that. Let's say, for example, you know. He could be, for example, that to begin with, I'm mentally setting aside a larger portion that I'm going to give to the one who gets here first, and he's going to have to share out of it for all the other ones, but all of them have to be had in mind, he has to have had them all in mind before he shechted. So on the face of it, when Rav Hoshi asked the question, he assumed that Zacho Mazaka means that Rudri Breda. At the time, the father didn't know which one is going to end up being first. Now, afterwards, it turns out that he's the one who gets that portion. But Rabbi Yehuda is telling him, based on what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, that no, it's not a question of Breira at all. He had in mind to begin with, all of them are going to be able to eat from the Korban Pesach. The question is just which one wins the prize, basically. What? No, a person can bring the man and his children free from the Korban Pesach.
They don't need any. So
if it's Golem, then they have to assent. Otherwise, we assume they want to bring their own. But if it's Kanim, we assume they're Yotzer with their parents, or with their parents Korban Pesach, unless they're Molcha.
Just if they're all competing to get there, assume that they also want to be part of it.
Yeah. Dekanami, and in fact, we can prove that from the actual wording of the Mishnah, the Katani, Kivin Shenichnas Rish and Rosh Avodah, as soon as the first one gets in, head and most of his body, Zacha B'chelke, he's Zacha in his portion, Omezaka Sechavimah, and we said he now has acquired a portion for his brothers with him. So, Iyam Vishlema Deim Ninhu Mi'ikra, if you're talking about the case where the father was Mamana them in the first place, Shaper, then we understand why all of them are able to eat from the Korban Pesach, because they were all registered for it before it was shechted. If the father had not registered some of them, how could he register them after it's shechted? But we learn in the Mishnah in Pesachim, you can register and you can withdraw from your registration for a Korban Pesach only until it's shechted. As we learn over there from the pasuk, v'yimat habayis miyoyis miseh, we darshan to mean as long as the seh has its havaya, as long as it has its existence as a living seh. Only then yimat habayis. Only then can you reduce the number of household members who are involved with it or join in with it. Once it's shechted, then no. So obviously, if we're saying that all the children do end up eating from the Korban Pesach, it must be talking about that they were all pre-registered before it was shechted. So necessarily, when he's saying, Harei Shochet HaTefesach HaMish Yalam HaKem Rishon LeYerushalayim, he's just saying it for the sake of competition. He's not saying he's not saying anybody who didn't get here first is not going to get from the Korban Pesach. So necessarily, they're all going to get. Tani Nami Hochi, and in fact we learn a braisa accordingly. Maisa v'kodma bonus l'bonim. One time it happened, a man did this, and he had both sons and daughters, and he made this announcement to all of them, whichever. Yeah. What 10? You're an intention. Anybody who can eat a kazayas is included, yes. So if a woman can eat a kazayas, then yes, she can be one of the people. There's no 10. There's no specific number. Yeah. But women are chayav in it because Afen Hoya Bo Sanes, and because there's a Nisokoris involved. Yeah. So Maisa Vakodma Bonis the Bonim. One time it happened, the girls got there ahead of the boys. Vinixu Bonis Zrizas the Bonim Shvavim. So it turns out that the girls are the Zrizas, the ones who are quick to do the mitzvah, and the sons are the lazy ones. The point is, we're saying that Zrizim versus Shvavim. We're not saying that it's the girls got to eat from the Korban Pesach and the boys didn't. Implying the boys got to eat also. They all got to eat from the Korban Pesach. The girls just got the girls just got the blue ribbon at the Seder table. Tosfos, by the way, points out that the Gemara we learned in Nedarim during the summer, that actually seems to contradict this. The Gemara discusses over there the possibility that maybe this whole concept that you can only register for the Korban Pesach until it's checked, that maybe it's only Derabanan, it's not there, right? And in that case, that doesn't fit with our Gemara over here, where we're dealing with the question of Brera or not on the Daraisa level. So Tosfos says, and a number of other Mephoroshim also say, that okay, there's a number of sugyas like that in the Gemara, where in one place the Gemara uses a certain set of assumptions at the base of the sugya, and in another place the Gemara uses different assumptions. So okay, here the Gemara is assuming that this whole concept is Daraisa. In the Daraisa, the Gemara is operating on the assumption that it's Derabanan.
It's not a contradiction.
Yeah, well, it is a contradiction, but it's just two different ways of Amaroyim, two different approaches that Amaroyim took. Now, going back to this discussion between Rav Hoshea and Rav Yehuda, Amar Abaya, Asa Abaya says, I don't understand how this discussion went. Rav Hoshea started out with a question about a case of Breda where you're making it depend on what somebody else ends up doing. Because what is the husband saying to the slaver? He's saying, you write the get, and what will the validity of it depend on? Whichever of my wives chooses to go out the door first. So it's not based on my own das, it's based on somebody else's das. The Kaposhet Leitola B'dasas, right? Rav Yehuda answers him based on a case of Das Atzmoy in our Mishnah, where he says to the sofer, I haven't decided yet, but I will decide afterwards which one I want to use it for. That's Tola B'dasas. He's making it depend on his own Das. And then he's going yet again back to Das Achayim, because Rav Hoshea is asking Rav Yehuda based on a case of Das Achayim, where the father is saying, according to the original assumption that we had, the father is saying, I'll have in mind for the Korban Pesach whichever one has the das to get into Yerushalayim first. So it's going back and forth like that. It's either one or the other. Now Rashi points out there is a logical reason to make a distinction. If it's Toilah B'das Atma, it means you yourself are uncertain at the time which one you want to do. Peseach al Shtei Aseichim, Rashi uses the famous expression, like Eliyahu says to the Jewish people at Harakama, like, you know, you're limping between two opinions. Like, you know, you're on both sides of the fence. You yourself can't make up your mind. So then you could argue, you could say that's a reason to say that ain't Breda. And that's a reason to say Ein-Breda, because he himself, obviously, at the time of the writing, didn't know which one it was going to be. If it's Toilah B'das Achirim, then it means, in other words, that he had a definite decision in mind. Whichever one walks out first, this guest is going to be for her. It so happened that one versus the other one walked out. So maybe there should be a logical reason to argue that in the case of Toilah B'das Achirim, we would say Ein-Breda. But if Toilah B'das Achirim, if you're making it depend on what somebody else does, maybe Yesh-Breda. So then, so how does the whole discussion fit? That's what we're saying. Torah B'Dasa Chayra. No, Torah B'Dasa Chayra should be Yesh Breda, because you knew that you were going to do, for example, on behalf of whichever wife walks out first, or in your Hoshea's Mishnah from Sochin, whichever son gets to Yerushalayim first. You just didn't know which one that's going to end up being. But you had the decision in mind, as opposed to Torah B'Das Atzmai, where you yourself didn't even have any decision in mind.
That's not real. Not real clear. It's not. It doesn't have a definite purpose. It has a definite occurrence. not a first
shot. So when we get down on the base, when we talk about the difference between Breda and Shnai, we'll get into that. But wait. Omar Rava, my Kusha. So what's the problem? Dilma demand Isla Breda. Maybe you could say that whoever holds that Breda is considered valid, that we do say that retroactively it was considered this was what was intended all along.
Even by
Akhir. You would say, Loishna Tola Vadasas, Loishna Tola Vadasas, and Isla Breda. You would say that whoever holds Yesh Breda says it doesn't matter whether it's Tola Vadasas, Vadasas, and Mandalas Breda, and whoever holds that there's no such thing as Breda, also Loishna Tola Vadasas, Loishna Tola Vadasas, Breda. In other words, you're arguing that there is that distinction between Torah B'Das Asma or Torah B'Das Acherim, but not necessarily. If you find somebody who holds Yesh Breda, but he wants to make that distinction, or you find somebody who says Ein Breda and wants to make that distinction, then fine. But we don't find anybody such. So we can assume Rabbi Hoshia didn't hold of any such distinction himself. Therefore, when Rabbi Yehuda pointed out to him our Mishnah, he didn't say, wait a minute, our Mishnah is Torah B'Das Asma, I'm asking about Torah B'Das Acherim. Instead, he brought a case of Torah B'Das Acherim, and Rabbi Yehuda explained it to him, but he himself didn't make that distinction. Rabbi Yehuda didn't make that distinction either. So that's the point. Nobody is making that distinction. So yes, you, Abaya, want to point out that distinction, but not necessarily whether we say Yesh Vero, Ein Vero, is that really considered to be a valid distinction? Maybe not. Whoever holds Ein Vero would hold doesn't matter. And whoever holds Yesh Breda, it's always Ein Breda. Whoever holds Yesh Breda will hold always Yesh Breda. And that's it. It's still Breda, because it's still the question, who is it going to end up being?
That's not the only question. The question is, first of all, he has to make that decision.
You know what? We may as well talk about now. I mean, it really belongs on the days, but we'll talk a little bit now about the whole business of, so you have, on the one hand, we're saying over here, Breda, and we're discussing Yesh Breda or Ein Breda, but on the other hand, we know throughout the Torah you can make something dependent on the Tanai. In the case of Gittin in particular, we've touched on it before, and we're going to get much more extensively into it later in the Masechtah, that you can give a get based on a Tanai. So what's the difference? Why are we saying a get based on a Tanai is valid, but a get based on Breda may not be valid, according to the opinion Ein Breda? So Rashi says the difference is basically a Tanai is something that you have the capability of making it happen. If you have the capability of making something happen, then it's called a Tanai, regardless whether you actually make it happen or not, but at least it's something that theoretically you could make happen. An example of a Tanai we'll talk about later in the Masechtah is, it could be a Tanai, for example, let's say if I don't come back home by such and such a date, then the get will be in effect. That's an example.
Right.
That's an example of a Tanai.
Rira does not depend on it. Just Rira, just your opinion changes.
No, wait. So Rashi says the difference is a Tanai is whether you're doing it or not. Rira is whether it is, if it depends on external circumstances. It depends on him himself making up his mind, which is Torah B'Das Acherim, or it depends on what somebody else does, which is Torah B'Das Acherim. That's different than a Tanai.
Nice. And the Rambam brings plenty of examples where if the wife returns, if we return here by this, then it's fine. It's not a gift. So it's not dependent on him. It's depending on the wife.
No, there's not cases, no. It doesn't depend on whether the wife shows up. No, the typical case of Tanai is im loy bossi mikan bat shloshim yom, or shnei mechodesh, or what have you. It depends on him.
Where if you bring me by
fine, if you give me 200 zuz,
right.
Fine, but also that kind of thing can also be called a Tanai, because it's also in a way dependent on him. He's able to be mochel the 200 zuz, for example. As opposed to, Rashi says, breda is something that depends on something beyond his control. In the case of Torah B'Das Atzma, it's in a sense beyond his control because he himself hasn't made up his mind yet. In the case of Torah B'Das Achem, it's beyond his control because he doesn't know which one of them is going to walk out first or come to Yerushalayim first or what have you. The Ramban and various other Rishonim talk about other possibilities. The Ramban talks about, and Mashal clarifies, that's basically a question, how many alternatives are there? A Tanai is basically something they say differently. It's not a question whether you can do it or not. It's a question, how many alternatives are we talking about? In the case of a Tanai, there's two alternatives. Either I come back by such and such a date, or I don't come back by such and such a date. Either you give me the 200 zuz, or you don't give me the 200 zuz, whatever. That's very, very narrowly defined. Breda is when there's three or more possibilities. Wife number one may walk out first, wife number two may walk out first, or neither of them may walk out first, or both of them may walk out together. So that's what we talk about as Breda.
But Breda depends
on a post-dated situation. A Tanai is predated. So you know exactly before the event what the event is going to be. You just don't know if it's going to be filled or not, but the event itself...
Okay, so that is another possibility that some Rishonim talk about, right? That a Tanai, basically what you just said, yeah, that a Tanai is something where you knew in advance what the possibilities are. Yeah, yeah. Where's Breda or something else?
But, like I said, Tanai is no exactly interaction that's going to happen. So depending on the occurrence, yes or no.
Yeah.
In this case, Rera is the actual parties are a question. Whether it's dependent on what the soldier says or what he thinks, in other words, it's not even sure who it's going to happen to. In other words, if he's saying to your wife, a definite person, if I do this, then fine, if not that. But the interaction is like we've seen them 100%, if it's going to happen or not. But Rera, he's saying, I don't know which wife it's going to be.
That's the point. In other words, according to Marshall's understanding, it's three possibilities at least. It could be one or the other, or it could end up being neither of them.
In a Tanai, you know what's going to happen exactly, but you don't know if it's going to happen.
Right.
Yeah, so it's a binary as opposed to a ternary.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what Marshall was saying. Yeah. Okay, anyway. So then, either way, hello. According to all that, then, there shouldn't be any difference between Torah B'Das Asma or Torah B'Das Acharim. Again, according to Rashi, it's a matter of is it something in your capabilities or not. According to the Ramban and the Marshal, is it how many possible outcomes are there, or is it something where the outcomes can be predicted So, Amalei Mashashi L'Rava, what are you talking about? You're telling me that somebody who holds somebody who has an opinion on this whole concept of Breira does not make a distinction between Torah B'Das Asma and Torah B'Das Acharim. But we have the example of Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, the Torah B'Das Asma less Le Breira. He holds that if you're making it depend on your own das, then there's no Breira. But Torah B'Das Acharim is Le Breira. But if you're making it depend on what somebody else does, then he holds there is Breira, which is exactly the distinction we were just trying to make. Namely, how do we see that? Torah B'Das Asma less Le Breira. How do we see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that if you're Torah B'Das Asma, that if you yourself are uncertain at the time, then you can't say Breira, because like Rashi said, then you yourself haven't made up your mind at the time the thing was done, so therefore there's no way you can say that it was determined. And where do we see that he says that? Titania is the learner of Breisa. This is a famous Breisa. Actually, most of it is Mishnah. The end of it is a Breisa. That's brought in about ten places in Shaf. If somebody buys wine from the Kusim, now the Kusim, as we've talked about many times, is a famous machlokes throughout Shas, whether they're Geri Arayas or whether they're only Gerim because of lions and therefore not real sincere Gerim and therefore they can't be considered Jews, or are they Geri Emes, true Gerim, or Breisa is going according to the opinion that they are Geri Emes, which they were, and according to that opinion, until in the times of Reb Meir, they found them worshipping a dove on Hagarism, and then they declared them full-fledged goyim. Actually, it's interesting, the Yerushalmi says that even after that, they still continued to allow their wine for some period after that, until there was one of the Roman emperors who ordered that everybody bow down to him and everybody pour libations in his honor except for the Jews. And the Kusin didn't take advantage of that exemption. They went and poured out wine in his honor to show, look what loyal citizens we are. And at that point, they said, that's it. Your wine is finished. Yeah. But anyway. Tosfos says even if we say that they're Geri Arayis, we still might have said, before we found that they're worshipping this dove, etc., we still might have said, the fact is, even if we say they're Geri Arayis, they are still less involved with Avodah Zarah, or not at all involved with Avodah Zarah, compared to the Goyim around. So in effect, maybe Tosfos doesn't use the word Geri Tosha, but that's sort of what it sounds like it's coming out to. You still maybe would argue that maybe their wine is Mutzer. We don't have reason to ask their wine to the potential Yad Nefer. Anyway, whatever it is. So you're buying wine from the Kusim. The wine itself is kosher wine. The problem is, the Kusim, when they're eating and drinking produce themselves, they take proper Trumas and Isis. It says in the Torah, they know to do it. But when they sell it to other people, they do not. For a variety of reasons, to Jews, but it doesn't matter, whatever. There are different Mephoshim talk about different reasons why they might not do that. One is maybe they don't hold of the issue of Lifnei Ivra L'Sitta Michal, they don't understand it as we do to prevent a person from doing an Aveda, they just take it in the literal sense, don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. Tosfos discusses over here that maybe they figure that, look, it's not like the Truma and Maaser belong to any specific Kohen or any specific Levi. It belongs collectively to the Kohenim and Levim. It's called Mamon She'en LaTovim. It's like money that there's nobody specific demanding, claiming it. So therefore, they would argue it's not really considered Gezel to not give it, whatever it is. When you're buying wine from the Kusim, therefore, you have to take full Truma and Maaser from it. Now, the problem is, you bought this wine, and let's say it's right before Shabbos, or let's say you don't have another container available to pour the Truma and Maaser into. What do? Oh, you say like this, Shnei Lugim, Shani Yosef Lahafish, two Lugim that I'm going to, later on after Shabbos, or when I get vessels or whatever, that I'm going to take out from it, Harei and Truma. Then as of now, I'm declaring them Truma. Asoda Maaser Rishon, the next 10 will be Maaser Rishon. Tisha Maaser Sheni, the next 9 will be Maaser Sheni. Okay, Tosfos points out it's not technically 10 and 9. It's not necessarily 2, 10. It's not necessarily 10 and 9, because once you take out the 2, it's not really 9. It's not really 10, it's 9.8. So Tosfos gives a few possibilities why we're using the figure of 10 and 9. Whatever. So that's one possibility. Tosfos discusses the possibility also that maybe for example, I mean, midoraisa, you can give one grain of wheat out of a whole pile, for example, and that's enough for truma. Same thing with wine, one drop would be enough. So therefore, you really would have then 10% from ice. Umechel b'shoytim yad. Then umechel. So Rashi says mechel means you have to take the ma'aser sheni and you have to be mechalal it. It's true that what you're going to be drinking is most of the wine and leaving what are we up to now? 21% at the bottom of it and taking out truma and ma'aser rishon and ma'aser sheni out of that. Nevertheless, though. So the truma and maaser, it can't be helped. Of necessity, you're going to be drinking from the thing before you actually separate them out because you don't have anything to separate them into because Shabbos, and you can't. The maaser sheni, where at least you have the option of being mechalal it before you drink it, then you should be doing that. So that's what Rashi explains, that's the word mechal means. At least be mechalal. The maaser sheni, that way at least you're avoiding the problem of drinking potential maaser sheni. The shows to me are the many can drink. This is what we're talking about. This is we're proving that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Torah B'Das Atzmei doesn't work because let's go through the rest of the Braisa. But wait, let me just say, as far as this Mechel, Tosfos gives a couple of other explanations. Tosfos says that one possibility is Mechel means that you can drink right away. Mechel Meloshen Maschil. Or Tosfos says mechel can be meloshen as like mehal with a hay. So the loshen aplatik soveh mohul b'mayim. Your wine is mixed with water. We know throughout Shas they would mix their wine with water before they drank it because it was too syrupy or too high alcohol content, whatever it was exactly. So they would mix it with water. Here also you can mix it and right away drink it. Interesting thing, by the way, in the Sefer Minhagei Maharil. From the famous Maharil, one of the early Achronim, there's a section over there of short verplach from Maharil that were collected by his Talmud, Reb Zalman Meshuti Gvera, Reb Zalman of St. Gore, the name of every town in Germany. Reb Zalman writes that one time the Maharil said, I'm curious about the Mishnah Ma'avin B'dmai, why is it quoted in Shas more than any other Mishnah? So in the new edition from Machan Yerushalayim of Minhagim Ariel, they said, what are you talking about? That Mishnah, Ma'avin B'dmai, is quoted in only two places in Shas. So I once theorized that maybe actually he was referring to our Mishnah over here. Maybe he understood Mechel B'shoyt Miyad the way that Tosfos does. Mechel, you mix it. Therefore, either he loosely called it Ma'avin B'dmai, you can mix wine of Dmai and drink it, or if Zalman misheard it and wrote it down that way. And indeed, this Mishnah, this Braisa, is brought down in about 8 or 9 places in Shas and a couple of places in the Yerushalmi as well. Anyway, I thought of that idea. Anyway, give it a mayor. So this is what Rameir says. So therefore, it sounds like we're talking about we're allowing Breda. We're allowing that at the end, the 21% that you're leaving at the bottom over there, or actually, okay, once you're Mechal, the Maaser Sheni, then fine, you only have 2% for Truma, 10% for Maaser Rishon. It turns out at the end, the 12% that you have left there at the bottom is the 12% that you had in mind to begin with to be for Truma and Maaser Rishon. So that's great. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Oisrin. And Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon all say that's also. So it sounds that there you have a case, Torah B'das Atzmei, it depends on his own das, of what he's going to do as far as the separating. And we see Rabbi Yehuda said, no good. Torah B'das Acherim Islay Breda. Conversely, we see that Rabbi Yehuda seems to hold that when it comes to Torah B'das Acherim, he does hold Breda. when you're making something depend on what somebody else does. Ditznan, as we learn in a Mishnah, as we learn in a Mishnah later on in our Masechta, Mahi ba'osen ayomim. Suppose a man gives a get to his wife, in the seventh parak we're going to talk about, a man gives a get to his wife and says, this is your get, it'll take effect as, right now I'm sick, I'm a shtivnera, I'm giving you this get now, it should take effect as of now, when I die. If I die from this illness. So then, that works. Now, so the question is, from when he gives her the get until he dies, what's her status? Rabbi Hoda, Amar Eishes, this is called the Bereah. So Rabbi Hoda says she's considered 100% an Eishes Ish because the get has not yet taken effect until he dies. Or actually, Tosfos says, really, it would take effect right before he dies, but whatever, because they ain't get Lachamisa. But anyway, whatever. Ulchimai Chavagita. And yet you're saying that it is a valid get as soon as he dies. So what does that mean? He said that this get is Me'achshav. We're not certain at that point if he's going to die or not. He only says im neiti mecholizeh, and yet we're saying that it is considered a valid get. Now that can't be a matter of tonight. Again, Rashi says it's not at the time. Right. But the point is that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that until the guy dies, she's fully an Eishes Ish. But when he dies, then it is a valid get retroactively from the beginning. Now, this isn't a t'nai, Rashi points out. This can't be considered a t'nai, because again, according to Rashi, a t'nai is something that you're capable of fulfilling. It's not in his power whether he lives or dies. It's up to the Eivishter. Therefore, it must be a matter of Breira. And evidently, we're saying, Rabbi Huda would say, that Breira there is valid. It's talking about the Achim, you're making it depend on what the Eivishter decides.
Change his mind, really.
Not change his mind, but it's still a matter of Breira. It's still a matter of you're making it depend. It's the equivalent of saying, whichever of my wives comes out first, here it's the equivalent of saying, if I die from this sickness, then this get will be, then it means that when I gave you this get, it was in effect all the way from there.
If
it's not a T'nai, a T'nai would be something else. Thing. Rashi says a T'nai is something where he has the capability of making it happen or not making it happen. Okay, so... So there you have Rabbi Yehuda is saying that Rabbi Yehuda is making exactly that distinction between Tola B'das Asma and Tola B'das Achirim.
According to Rashi.
But according to everybody, I mean, that's what the Gemara is saying. Everybody else would have to explain the differences in Tanai and Breira differently. Tosfos discusses the details. Tosfos discusses the details about Tanai versus Breira. Getting.
Is it the same way as Rashi?
Not exactly. I mean, they discuss the exact difference between Tanai and Breira. We have to get moving, so let's not spend too much time on it. But Tosfos discusses various cases of Breira and how they fit exactly with the situation. Whatever it is, it seems that over here we have a case of Breira, and we're saying that it's valid. And Amaleh Rav Mesharshi Rava, and Rav Mesharshi said to Rava, not only Rabbi Huda, Hod of Shimon to Torah B'Das Asma Les Lebreira, but Torah B'Das Achirim is Lebreira. Not only Rabbi Huda, I can find Rav Shimon also, who hold that there's a difference between Torah B'Das Asma and B'Das Achirim, whether Breira is valid or not. Torah B'Das Asma Les Lebreira Hod Amoran. We just had the case of the Keach Yainim Ben Akosim. Rav Shimon is one of the three Tanoim who says no good. Therefore, that means Ein Breira. When it's something that's Torah B'Das Asma. What it depends on his decision, what he's going to separate, if it's Rama and Maisa. And Torah B'Das Achayim Isle Breira, where do we see that Shimon holds that if you're making it dependent on what somebody else thinks that he says there is Breira? The Tanya, we learn in a Breira. If a man says to a woman, Hareini Boyalech Amanashi Yirtahaba, I'm going to be Makadish Yubabia now, on condition that my father agrees. So, Alpha Pichalur Rotsa, Alpha Kodesh. Even if the father does not agree, she's still Mekodesh. Because we say, Einot of Oisabi Lossi Bilos Nus, he's not going to want that his Be'ilah should be Znus. He means for it to have been a valid Be'ilah and therefore valid condition regardless. But that's the Chachamim. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, Oim Mishim Rav Shimon. No, Rotsa Ab Mekodesh. It's only if the father agrees, it's Shim Mekodesh. Lo Rotsa Ab Einot Mekodesh. If the father does not agree, then it's not so because it was based on Breira. So therefore, so at the time of the Be'ilah, it was a suffix whether the father was going to want or not. and we're saying that it's Torah B'das Acherim, and we're saying that then we're saying if the father agrees, then retroactively it becomes a valid Bila. So there you have it. Before the end of Shimon, both hold in various cases that Torah B'das Acherim is very juicy. Yeah. Amalei, so Rava answers him, Bein le Rabbi Yehuda, Bein le Rabbi Shimon, Loish Natalah Zadat Asma, Loish Natalah Bidat Zacharim. No, according to both of them, there's no distinction whether he's Torah Bidat Asma, Torah Bidat Zacharim. Islehu Breira, actually both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in general do hold that Breira is valid.
Regardless.
So that, therefore, Rabbi Yehuda in the case of the get, then in the case of the get, we give Im Meiti Mechor Bizeh, and Rabbi Shimon in the case of the Harini Boila Chamanashi Yotahaba, essentially yesh breira. So why do they disagree in the case of the wine? Because v'hasam k'tchatani taima, there, in the case of the wine, the reason is actually it says right there in the breita. Amr lo le Rav Meir, because they said to Rav Meir, iyata moda shemi vaka no, don't you agree that, think of it, there might be the scenario where before he has the chance, before Shabbos is over, or before he has a chance to separate from a nicer, the wineskin bursts, and all the wine spills. Then it turns out that retroactively this person has been drinking kettle. Because okay, you want to say yes. Yeah, because you want to say yesh breira, and therefore you're going to say at the end the 12% that's left over will be what was meant to be all along, but if it all ends up spilling before he ends up finishing it, it means that all this time he's been drinking kettle, because the truma and meiser never ends up getting separated out. And Amalahem Lakshi Baka, Rav Meir says, okay, if it... Rav Meir says if it bursts, in other words, it's a far-fetched thing. I'm not worried about that scenario. Yeah. But therefore, so it's not a matter of breira or not breira. Everybody, Rav Meir would say yesh breira. Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon would also say yesh breira. But they say in that case, there's a possibility. There is part of the one of the possibilities is that the truma and nisim may never end up getting separated out. So Rav Meir is not concerned about that. But all of them do hold that yesh breira. Therefore, when we find one place where Rabbi Yehuda says, where Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon say that it's also, it's not because they hold Ein Breira, it's because of the problem of Shemi Baka Hanoid. Essentially, they hold Yesh Breira, even in the case of Torah B'Das Achirim, in the case of Torah B'Das Achirim. And once we find they say Yesh Breira in the case of Torah B'Das Achirim, we have no reason to think that they would hold any differently in the case of Torah B'Das Achirim. So what? Right. It's not kosher. It's kosher. No, because chayish lemiuta is when you can have chayish lemiuta. For one thing, is for example, a classic case where the mayor is chayish lemiuta is you have, for example, a boy who may grow up to be a sris, or a girl may grow up to be an ilonis. Right now already they're you know in potential they're a Swiss or an Ilonis. The node is not potentially right, is not right now potentially something that's going to burst. If that happens, it's something that happens at the time, we're not worried, we don't have to worry about it ahead of time. That's not the kind of mirror we have to be choshish for. Actually, okay, we're going back to the Tosfos that you asked about. Yeah, Tosfos says that actually Rav in a different Gemara in Eruvin would hold that there's a difference between Torah B'Das and Torah B'Das Achirim. But all Gemara is not going according to that Svara. All Gemara is assuming that there's no distinction.
Rashi is not something, you don't have control upon it.
That's what we're saying. If you have control, it's called a Tanai. If you don't have control, it's called Breira. I'm going to actually...